Just chair, we can go out. Just trying to see if there's anything quite nice. Yeah. Acting DG can take the responses. There was just one thing, it's just Honorable McKay is not here of the MOI. And I think the DG would respond to it. It can be noted so that when he's here, he knows the response.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, honourable members. Thanks, Minister. The question I wanted to tackle, the questions I needed to tackle on refineries, question asked by Honourable Matlala, on the fact that we did not report on the refineries. I think we do concede that the DPME was correct in the sense that there were no progress updates. However, I think the assumption, perhaps from our side, may have been wrong that we had indicated publicly and the minister had indicated in the budget vote speech that before the end of this calendar year, there will be an approach, a submission to cabinet to get an in-principle decision on the issue of the refinery from cabinet. So that's where that process is, and that is still the intention. The way forward will then be determined by that in-principle decision. But I must hasten also to say that it is clear to us that we are beginning to import increasing quantities of finished products. So there must be movement with regards to a refining capacity in the country. The link to that is the following question on cost benefit analysis.
Just repeat, you're saying we're waiting for what? It's an important question. I think I was distracted by something when we clarifying, waiting for something. You said you'd be guided by something. Just explain that.
Okay, Chair, we will be guided by whether the in-principle decision, you know, on building a new refinery is approved by cabinet. Whether cabinet takes an in-principle decision that we need a new refinery. Because from the department's perspective, and I think from that of the minister as indicated in the budget vote, we are of the firm view that there is a need for a new refinery. It is such a big investment that it does need a cabinet decision. On the issue of clean fuels, the cost-benefit analysis, that cost-benefit analysis was supposed to be done in collaboration with National Treasury. That's what had been decided by the intergovernmental team that's working on this matter. We have since evaluated that, and we are of the view that we need to relook that cost-benefit analysis, because the manner in which it was structured was not going to assist us. It was going to take too long. We need a decision on the mechanism of cost recovery sooner than the time frames that were indicated by the team that was working on this. So we have I've since actually taken a very close interest in actually making sure that we try and move that process forward as quickly as possible, because there is clarity that is required by the current refiners and various stakeholders as to whether there is going to be a cost recovery mechanism or not, and if so, what is the quantum. So those are the issues that will need to be dealt with. The Minister of Finance in 2015 had tried to introduce a scheme that would remunerate the existing oil companies if they were to upgrade the refineries, the existing ones. They then responded to say that it is not adequate. So what had been proposed in the budget speech of that year was that there would be an accelerated depreciation mechanism being used for the investments that they would have made. So they came back and said it's not sufficient. So Chair, that is where we are in as far as that is concerned. This is one of the areas that, if you look at the annual report, was reported as not being completed, because it was sitting in the policy environment. If I then were to move on, there are some on the perhaps the just to deal with the consequence management issue. I think the minister has touched on that. Irregular expenditure is referred to labor relations for investigation. We try as much as possible not to apportion guilt or blame before a formal investigation is conducted. So all those matters will be with labor relations for investigation. The question on the mandate of FFF, the MOI of SFF do allow for exploration as part of the mandate of SFF. In fact, it's in Article 4 of that MOI. So that is catered for in the MOI of SFF. I'm going to request maybe the CFO to deal with the membership fees, but I must indicate that sometimes when we overspend on membership fees, it's mainly because of exchange rate. Because these are membership fees to international organizations, for example, who are members of the International Atomic Energy Agency. And each country every year has got to pay a certain portion in euros, a certain portion in dollars. Now, when you budget, you then make certain assumptions about exchange rate. And if something happens, there's changes in the economy, then it does have an impact, because the figure you would have perhaps not have been conservative enough when decided on those fees. So that is what usually leads to over expenditure on membership fees. Without belaboring the point on the issue about Equatorial Guinea, our assumption on the response that was given last week is that the documents that were referred to last week in response were documents that would have been required in the process of responding to a question, a parliamentary question, not that there is necessarily a submission. So this is what we think could have caused the confusion then, actually. And we regret that that is the case. On the nuclear program, I think there is a standing decision of cabinet as to who the procuring agency is, or procuring agent is. In as far as the power reactor program, there is a decision. In as far as the research reactor program, there is also a decision. And I think until those have been changed, in our view, they do stand. What is happening? The chair asked a question about what is happening.
And that is Eskom and Nexa.
Eskom and Nexa. Chair, what is happening with the, I think the question that was asked by the chair on the new build? In our view, or in fact what we've been mandated to do is, as Minister indicated, we've been asked to look at all those issues or weaknesses that were identified in the court judgment to make sure that we begin to deal with them systematically, to improve where there were weaknesses that were identified. So that process is ongoing. The other major focus is that, one, we're saying on the existing program, let's not drop the ball. So we have existing programs at Nexa, we have existing programs at Quebec. Let's make sure that we consolidate, strengthen those programs, and that is what the team is working on. And then, of course, we need to look at, you know, in terms of benchmarks, what are other people doing globally, so that we can learn from those. And that is what the team is working on. They are setting, for example, we've said, we need to deal with this issue of communication. We are not communicating adequately on the nuclear program, on nuclear in general. So they were busy revisiting the nuclear communication approaches to make sure that we can actually reach people and make sure we are not talking to ourselves. Because that's the tendency, is that we have a conference and we talk to ourselves and we call that communication. So we said we need to look at that and make sure that we're able to explain the sector. Then, Chair, there was an issue on the 24 million of the irregular expenditure. Our approach is that we need to honor contracts that have been duly entered into by the department. What happens to the consequences, what consequence management then follows, we will deal with the individuals that got us into that difficult or into that irregular expenditure. But I think it is usually very difficult to then say once a service has been delivered, you are not going to pay specifically because that one is irregular, especially if you had already accepted the service itself. So we do have funding that has not been or the invoices that have not been processed or paid, and that will happen during the course of the financial year, assuming of course that we can have the savings from which we can pay. Chair, with your permission, I think I've covered I can then ask if there are issues that have been left, Chair, if those can be identified.
Thanks. Just might have dealt with this and ignored them if we have, so that we don't have too many follow-up questions on what was already raised. Strategic stock, there was a question about the on sale. I don't know, I didn't hear you on that. And there was a related issue there about the investigation in relation to the sale of the strategic stock, and especially with regard to people in the department. And the other one was nuclear 77 cents, and nuclear, I didn't hear that. So Mr. Lamini, the IT contract and the and solar water heater program. I remember you said some things about what the Honorable Matlala raised, but I didn't hear you talking about the solar water heater program and the relationship with municipalities, the question that you raised. Yeah, that's all. And then I think if we have dealt with some of these things, just say that you realize Minister is back, but she has said she's going to have to leave at 3. I hope that's still the case. And, so if there's anyone who has a follow-up question directly to the Minister, please take note.
Thank you, Chair. On solar water heater, perhaps I can ask. Okay, let me try and deal with it in the interest of time. To say that this program, members would be aware that we've procured systems, and we've been trying to get them installed at various municipalities. And I think the communication as well as the appetite for uptake has not been to our satisfaction, but also it's because, I think, of the way we structured that communication. Because we tended to do it at municipal manager level instead of requesting assistance from the minister and the deputy minister at a political level. And I think that is what we're trying to fix. Because at the end of the day, council has got to pass a resolution that basically accept that these systems will be installed in their municipality. And that usually it is, in our view, has got to have a political intervention. But I think as officials, we had tried to manage that process on our own. And it has proven not to be sufficient. But there is also a flip side to this, because Chair, if you install a solar water heater, then it means the revenue generated from electricity sales goes down. So for a municipality, they have to think about all of that. That's the balance that they have to do. To say, do they sacrifice those electricity sales? And so those are some of the considerations. I think SFF processes, as Minister had indicated, Chair, I do believe on this one, sufficient work has been done to investigate. There is sufficient intervention to deal with all of those who were part of the process. So I think the issue of consequence management, I am confident that that matter will be dealt with. The on sale, I think in the conversation with the traders, I believe that SFF will be in a position to then get a sense of what has happened. We also would want to say that the strategy on what to do, we should not give it away through some of the responses that we may give without withholding the truth from Parliament. But I think whatever we say here, it's in the public domain, then it defeats the purpose of engaging with traders to maximize benefit for the South African public, because that's the mandate that the SFF and SEF have, is to say if they go there, we need the maximum benefit for the public. And I think the more perhaps we say we're giving away what those discussions or the outcome of those discussions. Clearly, the traders themselves, I have a sense that they are not going to just give in without some kind of argument. So that one, we are under no illusion that those will be difficult conversations. On the IT system issue, I think that the approach that we've taken is that let us close the issue with the Auditor General on that one before we can discuss a way forward. I think I'm going to need help with my colleagues. There are questions I have not dealt with. Thank you.
Honourable Dlamini.
No, thanks, Chairperson. I will just quickly go through the issues. Look, I'm interested on the Minister's response on that written response, because she's now here on a response, was on record to say she doesn't get involved with SEF. So it's SFF. She doesn't get involved. So that request, I'm not starting that conversation again. We'll deal with it on the letter in terms of her involvement on that specific issue when she says, I don't get involved on the SFF. With that first question that we raised on requesting the DG, but we'll deal with that one in detail when that response comes. The acting DG, the minister is an executive authority, she's a politician. So sometimes when she makes assumptions on her answers, we understand. But you're an accounting officer, when you ask you, well, just want a direct answer. I ask you, is Mr. Tamari Zulu implicated on the IT tender? It's a yes or no. Secondly, we ask you in terms of the documentation. You can't say no, it was an assumption or an opinion. We ask you in terms of the processes, and you understand the importance why we ask that process, because the issue of the fuel stock in SFF is what brought us here, of not following the processes. All we are asking is that in terms of the Equatorial Guinea, are the processes still in place? Is there no direct communication of the document relating to exploration that moves straight from SFF directly to the minister's office? It's a simple, if there's no such, there's no such. Don't come to us and say, no, I think it's an opinion or an assumption. It doesn't work, you're an accounting officer. You must just tell us which way things are going. Lastly, you are saying the negotiations, the court, in terms of how you want to handle, you don't want to give away more information because you know, and that's correct. I don't think the traders, because they knew what they were getting to, they are business people. They're not just going to give away that stuff. They're going to fight. That's why we ask the issues of what else is going to trigger this court process. Now you're saying, we are giving less information. To me, there are two issues, Chairperson, which I don't understand. Is that, one, we are saying the contract is illegal. That is why we are going to the court issue. But at some stage, we are talking of negotiations. Now, the whole country must sit with the traders to negotiate. How do we deal with this issue? It's illegal, and once something is illegal, it must be dealt on those issues. This is not just, not unless we are saying, no, this was, it's not an illegal contract, but there were some mistakes, so we must be able to sit with the traders on saying how to reverse this. But if we are adamant that, no, the whole thing was illegal, it was not supposed to happen. So it's not your interest of what the traders are thinking. I mean, it's like when you are telling me that there's a criminal who has stolen a car, and then you say, no, let's go and negotiate, I want to hear. What is he thinking? No, it's legal or it's illegal. So this story of saying, no, you want to hear what the traders thinking and how they're going to respond to it. So the department must come to us and say, what is it exactly what is happening with these negotiations? Because the court issue, as the chairperson correctly said, we don't have reserves now. We are, as a country, relying to these other oil companies who tomorrow, if they decide to shut it down, they can shut down. This country will come to a standstill. We are relying to the same people that are not part of what we are dealing with issues. We are relying to international oil companies, as things said. We don't have anything in the country. So we need to be clear in the process that we are embarking on. So it can't be just an issue of saying, no, let's go to court and see, because once you go to court, it's no longer in your hands. It's a court issue. Even though you don't know the outcomes, but you must know what you're getting yourself into. Because it's no longer within your own control. Once the court comes back and say, actually, this is how we're going, that's why I said, from our side, all we need clarity. In terms of saying, is this an illegal contract? That's why we're taking you to court. We don't care what those traders are thinking, but we're putting it to you that those traders are going to fight. Have you thought of the consequences and the implications of the whole issue? So it's not a... is the issue. But from the accounting side, we need to be clear. You can't be speaking. You can't be speaking like a politician. You must be clear. Go to your. You must be talking both and not so that you are clear on what you on what you are dealing with. I think Chairperson, that also was the issue. Oh, since the minister is here, just to we don't want to rely on papers and rumors and stories. We are here, so I might as well ask you on the African exploration. We always hear that the Guptas through Mr. Swane, they want that that company. Just explain to us, is that true? So that tomorrow we don't come back and sit here. So just we can clarify that one. If it's just it's a story that doesn't exist, so the matter it's out of the way and we'll never ask you about it. It's staying within the department, then it's fine. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. I'm going to allow the minister to respond. I can see she's preparing to go so that we can release her.
Chair, just simple to Honourable Dlamini, I do not work for the Guptas. The issue here is that with the AE, is that in 2010, Cabinet passed a resolution to have the mining exploration company to move from Department of Energy to Mineral Resources. That process started before I arrived. We were asked in Cabinet to report where the process is, and we have started that process. There are issues that we needed to consider. Obviously, SERF has raised certain matters around how we're going to have to deal with issues of liabilities and all that, which is a whole package of involvement process. Our proposal is to say, as I announced as well during the budget vote, is that we want to see that process concluded by the financial year end, not in between, just in the financial year end, so that we make sure that we close the books this side, and they can start properly that side. So that's why it is indeed there is a process, and then we'll see to finish and then we'll report once we've done that.
We are told the same thing about the end of the financial year. So, and the Christian House, the clarity is a cabinet decision. So, the other issues about who has an interest. So, it is that, at least there, factually, that it's an extending cabinet decision. We have now decided on a time frame. The issue that arises for this portfolio is what are the implications of this thing? And that's really the issue for me that I think when at some point we've got to have some conversation before the end of the timeline. Honourable Makai.
So Chair, we need to be clear that the removal of AE from Central Energy Fund places a significant burden on the Central Energy Fund. It's one of the only profitable entities within the group. So by removing it, you fundamentally weaken the Central Energy Fund as a group. And we already know that PetroSA is in huge trouble, which already has huge trouble for the group. And we know that the liquidity position is impacted on by the Strategic Fuel Fund. So this is a company that you're essentially hollowing out by removing AE. So I do not see the wisdom of Cabinet's decision from 2010. I was not an MP in 2010. But the Minister's responsibility must be to the sustainability of the CEF group. And therefore, it would strike me as incumbent upon the Minister to express concern about the removal of AE from the Department of Energy and from the CEF group at this point, when the CEF group is in itself possibly going to impact solvency, it's going to impact the going concern issues, you're fundamentally undermining the CEF group. So, Chair, we need to have more than just a conversation before the year end. This is a very serious matter that will fundamentally affect the sustainability of the Central Energy Fund, in turn PetroSA, in turn the entities in the sector. So I'm very upset that we are wanting to postpone this issue. It's a conversation that needs to happen now, not once the decision is taken and AE is in the Minerals Department. Then what are we going to do with SEF?
Just on that one, Honourable Makai, yeah. Okay. I'm happy you're more forceful than me. So from where you're sitting, I'm sure you can do that. I'm sure there is agreement. The difficulty is the minister is leaving now, as you can see. So I'm not postponing the issue. I do want us to have a discussion around it so that there's clarity about what are its implications to the group. So there are many people who would agree with you about what we've just said. So, but I think we need a collective discussion on that and understanding that it's a cabinet decision on the matter. So I think it has got to be held in a particular way. We've got to return to it. My problem is we can't do it today. Minister is in a rush. I think we're holding, and she did indicate to me she's leaving at 3 o'clock as well. Long, well over past 3 now. Honorable Dlamini, I think what's happening now? You know the things we say about the violence in KZN is now.
There is a proposal, Chair. The at least the minister, she has respected us to sit until now. We appreciate that. But I'll just, as a committee, this SFF issue and the court and everything, as well as this AE, that maybe if we can just agree, if that is possible, just to set a date on them so that we can have a proper discussion of these issues, because so that we don't get to a situation where we are oversight. At the end of the day, we all of us must be able to work and resolve issues, so that when things go wrong, we don't sit on the side and say, yeah, it's them.
Okay, honorable. So many agree. Minister, you are excused. Thanks for staying longer than we had planned. Honorable Dlamini, I agree with you. Maybe not just the two issues. Let's give consideration to that. I think it is clear to me now. Last week, I thought we'll deal with these things sufficiently today. It is clear that we won't be able to. So we may have to identify a few key things and have a special meeting to come just deal with them so that there's a conclusion with regard to those. I have the same interest with SU on ensuring that there's clarity on those, what I would call the big issues in the portfolio. So can we move on? Honorable Makai, the minister is gone now. Are you on a... You're on follow-up questions. DG, you were done. Eh? So, okay. So all honorable members, can we now take follow-up questions? And then we had agreed that we have 14 minutes, we'll close at 3:30. Seeing that you didn't allow me to close the meeting at 1:30, so I'll definitely close it at 3:30 as a form of revenge. Honorable Makai.
Chair, I'd like to start on this issue of the invalid contract. Last week the AG said to us that if the contract is invalid, the department cannot pay the remaining outstanding, because if it's an illegal contract, to pay the outstanding amount will be further irregular expenditure. So the DG is indicating that they fully intend to pay what is an illegal contract and to fully pay to incur further irregular expenditure in the new financial year of 24 million, because apparently that's fine. Which is not an acceptable answer. As a taxpayer, I'm not happy with the department having flouted its own procedures and processes, the amount being deemed irregular, and now we're going to pay the remaining outstanding. The department must go back and claw back the money that it can from the entity. Also, if the provider wants to get the money out of the department, they must take them to court. Why must we happily give away another 24 million because someone in your department issued an irregular contract and we must just pay? It's not acceptable. A completely unacceptable answer from you, DG. Absolutely. Like, who gives you the mandate to do that? The AG was clear. If it's irregular expenditure, the contract is invalid, you don't pay the other 24 million rand. So now someone on that side is going to benefit from what? So then we have to start investigating them. The onus comes back to us. We have to follow the trail. You should not be paying the 24 million rand. Full stop. Please, you've indicated that it's Article 4 of the MOI. Please, could you read me in detail what that Article 4 says? I don't want to know it's Article 4. I'd like you to read for the record what Article 4 says of SSF's MOI. So if you have it in front of you, please can you read it? If not, please can you give it to me in writing exactly what Article 4 says. Chair, also, where is this money going to come from? You had a 200 million rand allocation. You've spent that. And an additional 24 million is going to have to come from another budget line item. in your new budget. So not only is it going to be regular, you also don't have the money. So please, where's the money going to come from? The minister has now indicated that the regular expenditure has been condoned, at least in part, in terms of the MA, in terms of the transaction advisor. You are the accounting officer. Have you started, or when will you start, an investigation into who issued that contract, and when can we expect to see consequence management around this specific issue? Because you're telling me it will happen. When will it happen? We'd like to know a straightforward answer, which I know you're not your favorite type of answers. Again, I asked you a very specific question about, are you aware of the on-sale of the oil that was in our tanks? Has it been on-sold? You've told me SSF will talk to the traders and they will find out. I've asked you, do you know about the on-sale of the oil to other subsequent buyers of our oil? Now, this affects your whole strategy next week, because you're going to go into court, go to the original buyers and say the contracts were illegal, and they're going to say, but I've unsold the oil. So who are you going to hold to account? Because you can't go to the person that they've sold it to, drag them into court, because they weren't party to the original contract. And so who are you going to sue? Who's going to be illegal? The fact of the matter is, if the oil has been unsold, which I suspect it has been unsold, at least one transaction of on-sale for the three players, there's no way to get the oil back. The oil is gone. So instead of focusing on that part of the transaction, you should be focusing on, how did this transaction even occur? Who is responsible? Who signed it off? How were the discounts determined at which this oil was sold? The KPMG report, which you are sitting on, clearly calls for an investigation into the determination of how those discounts were called for, who called for them, and who subsequently benefited at the expense of the taxpayer and the Strategic Fuel Fund in terms of the sale of that stock. So the oil is long gone. We know this. You're not going to get it back. Admit it. Start focusing on tracking down those individuals who were responsible for the transaction. Where's Mr. Gumede, the original CEO of SSF? Where is he? He's living in London. He was here in May in the country. Did you take any action to deal with him at that point? Consequence management, we already knew that the oil had been illegally sold. The minister said so at her first meeting. He was in the country. Where's your consequence management? I question whether you actually have an appetite to go after the people who did this, which again speaks to us about state capture, speaks to us about corruption in the department, and really just your ineffectability as an accounting officer. So if you can give us an answer, I asked earlier, what consequence management has taken place in the last 6 months by the acting CEO in relation to those who authorized this transaction? The transaction happened. It didn't just happen. Someone authorized it. There must be a trail. You know who those people are. Where's the consequence management? You're not going to get the oil back. We should admit that. We must not. It's been unsold. It's gone. Someone benefited. Let's go after the people who benefited. They were in your department. We should take them down. If they're in SSF, they must be taken down. And we should claim back the money from those individuals. So, frankly, again, these answers are just ineffectual, not helpful, complete misdirection. And frankly, it's getting very frustrating. The department is hapless. We're not happy as taxpayers. Please do a better job.
I'm not sure if it is lawful to monitor the movements of other citizens. Honor Makai, what do you want us to do with this? Acting DG, Deputy Minister, can you please respond to this? It's a shared question. I listen to you and I have sympathy for what you are saying. We have dealt with these matters in the past where I think we're dealing with Petro SA with regard to what you do and what do competitors do with the information they get here. Now we have a situation where you want to go to court, so a certain information may impact on your legal strategy or may impact on your negotiations. The issue is we don't know whether you want to court, you want to go to court, or you want to negotiate. So at least you would have been clear that if you want to negotiate, then we know what would impact on your negotiations. negotiation strategy. So what deal is that? Now, it seems to be both causing confusion. So is that confusion I have a problem with? I have no issues if you say that we have taken this decision, we're going to be negotiating, so we're going to talk with the traders, so if we divulge more information, this would affect what we do. Then we clear. But you're negotiating with them, you're going to court. So what are you doing? Are you doing both? So it's that thing, that's the issue for me. I'm not interested in the detail. But we need to be clear as parliamentarians. You have determined these transactions are illegal and therefore invalid. You are illegal. You're going to court to declare them invalid and therefore reverse the entire thing. So then it's clear what you're doing. So when you say that if we give you more information, you'll affect our legal strategy, we are clear as parliamentarians. We can respect that and we know where you're going. But at the moment, we don't. You're telling us too many things. You want to talk to the traders, you're going to court. So which one are you doing? So, Honor Makai, I've heard your question. Let me give over to the acting DG. I don't know if after having listened to him, or maybe first the deputy minister, after having listened to him, I don't know how far we're going on that question. I'm just deputy minister emphasizing the thing that we have a deep interest as the committee with regard to how the issue of the strategic stock is going to be finalized. As long as there's clarity, which we clear that the strategy and it's been pursued, then we will wait for a report. But if we're not hearing what is being said exactly, so that thing causes concern as to whether are you even going to act, because it's not clear what decision you are making. So, let's respond to those follow-up questions. I'm happy I can see there are no further follow-up questions. So if we deal with those ones, those two, then we can move towards closing the meeting. Over to you, Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. If you'll allow, Chairperson, can I ask the shareholder to speak to this issue, particularly on the SFF? And I think SINCEF is also here when we then decide to have the discussions around the African exploration, those will also be added. I'm not sure if there's anything you'd want to say on that in particular, but I'm happy that they are here. So if you'll allow, can we ask them to speak to that?
Thanks very much. You know, you're right. And I was just talking to Mr. Kotz about a possible date. We do want to do this. So we'll just have to clarify with the rest of the members what package of things we want to put into the special meeting so we can get that back. Reminding me before we close, AG, I still want to hear you. And I don't want... You remember the thing that causes concern, that, you know, AG may have acted in a way that may not have been proper in two instances. The department, the two letters on the same day, different contents, and then agreeing on something on later, go back to it. With regard to the department, the same thing was said. If you can clarify those things before we close. Shareholder, by shareholder, Deputy Minister, you're referring to Central Energy Fund. Why do you call it a fund? Are you a fund? I think we must change the name if they call them corporation or something. Central Energy Corporation. Fund! Okay, go ahead.
Thanks, Chair. I hope I'll be able to aid your frustration. If I'm unable to, I'll get you some grandpa. But I think, Chair, on a serious note, the issue of the court comes out of the following context, that it's a foregone conclusion that the contracts were void ab initio. So if they are void ab initio, you can't blow life into them, they are dead. So by law, you must then go to court and get those contracts to be declared invalid. Because we're a public entity, it was an it's classified as an administrative action. So it, only a court can set that decision aside, even if we know that it is invalid. So that is the court process. So that process we must do. We had a debate, with the AG, and we agree that as SEF, as SEF, we will not be able on our own to make the determination of invalidity. So that's why we're going to court. On the issue of engagement with the traders, it's actually a double-edged sword. You know that the conducts are invalid. When you go to engage, you're possibly engaging on two things. The other one is to say, what do we do with the product and all the related issues? So I wouldn't want to get into that. The third one is what Mr. McKay is raising. Do you focus on the court process or in the investigation? Well, unfortunately, that obligation lies with, which will be the board of SEF, because of the PFMA, because the financial obligation sits with us. So we will have to make that decision, because the PFMA Section 51 places that obligation on us to say, once you have made a determination on irregular expenditure, you must then investigate. So that is a positive obligation on us. So once the process of verifying the KPMG work, that is a positive obligation on us, and we have gone on public to explain that position. So over and above what the Hawks would have done and everybody else has done, our own legal obligation is actually to investigate. So we're not going to shy away from that responsibility. The whether we're negotiating with the traders or not, it will largely be determined by what we end up going to ask the court to do. So you can go and ask the court to say declare them void. You can go to the court and say, give me a just and equitable remedy based on my circumstances. And you are still getting legal advice on that. So we'll be able to give you an answer as to what is it that you ask the court to do. But what we are sure of is that the conduct must be declared void because they are void. The question of what then the court must help us probably relates to what Mr. Honorable Member Lamine raises, to say, looking at where we are as a group and looking at all the issues surrounding us at the moment, what do we then ask the court to do? Do you then ask the court to say, keep the stock and pay back the money? Or do you say, keep the money and leave the stock? So that is the part of the considerations that we'll put before the court. Because unfortunately, we can't aid ourselves from our own illegality. So that is the answer, Chair. I hope I've aided you.
Yeah, very much so. What I don't understand is then, if we're going to ask the court, what are you negotiating? Why are you negotiating with people that have nothing to do with your process of the court? I don't understand.
If I may, Chair.
Yes.
There's an unfortunate reality that we must deal with, Chair. That we're sitting where we're sitting now. We've got an obligation to go to court to get the conduct declared void. But what we don't know, between the time we make the determination or we go to court, who actually owns the product? Now, all of those things, Chair, influence what we go and ask the court to give us. So whether we want to or would prefer not to, unfortunately, we must get some certainty from on those issues. I like the gymnastics of your neck, Chair. I hope the answer is accepted.
Okay. You only wanted the SEF group to answer, né? So that's sufficient. So if you're happy with that. Honourable members, I'd like to give an opportunity to the AG to comment, and then I'll come back to you so that we can close there.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon. that was raised for SFF, what the CFO has indicated in terms of the findings, that the finding that was raised is correct. What happened is at a team level we identify findings, but before we can finalize the report, it has to go through the process of quality control review. At a level of the team, we had concluded that it wouldn't meet the non-compliance of Section 54, but when it went to further reviews by the audit report signatory and the quality control review, then they picked up that as a team, we've missed some of the points, therefore the transaction qualifies to be a partnership arrangement. So we had then, at that point, it was already the date that the audit had to, the audit report had to be finalized, and I have communicated via an email to the CFO. Chair, I do agree that at the point there was limited time to have further engagement, but I think the process was affected by the quality control review that I've highlighted. On the issue of DOE, I think what has happened is that the process for finalizing the audit for the current year, it took longer than the previous years due to the disagreements that we had between the audit team and the department. So on the 26th of July, that's when we presented the report to the audit committee. At that point, the report is not yet finalized. It's not yet final report, the management report, because then we want the audit committee members to also give input as they are responsible for governance issues also. So at that meeting, the audit committee indicated that they needed to meet with the executive of the office because they were not happy with the findings that we have raised. The findings that were included in that report that was presented at the audit committee, we have concluded that the department didn't comply with CETA Act. In terms of the treasury regulations, the department, if they need to procure the system, they have to do it via CETA. And we had also in that letter indicated that the prices, if you look at the Free State and the department, were not the same. And we had indicated that the specifications were the same. But then it was indicated the audit committee members requested that because the department were not in agreement with the findings, it was requested that we needed to have another meeting so that the management and the audit committee can meet with the executive of the auditor general, which is the business executive and the corporate executive. There was a meeting on the 31st of July wherein we were trying to resolve this matter. From that meeting, it was indicated that as the audit team, we needed to go back and do some work. It was agreed that we will go back and look at the price, we'll go back and look at the specification. And at that meeting, it was deliberated and it was concluded that if you look at the issue of non-compliance with CETA Act, that non-compliance will fall away because the department has opted to now participate in a contract that was entered into by another organ of state. So from that meeting, as an audit team, we went back and management also provided us with further information so that we can confirm in terms of what was agreed at the previous meeting. We had also involved, looking at the nature of the contract, we had subsequently involved our IT team so that they can assist us in analyzing their specifications for the two contracts. So what happened is after that process, we had then revised that management letter that was issued on the 26th of July so that it can reflect the work that was done subsequent to the meeting on the 31st of July and also the information that was provided by management. So we had then on the 23rd of August issued a revised management report that has indicated that out of the issues that we raised, only the issue of specification will remain as an issue that will then result in irregular expenditure. The issue of the date on the management report, I think is just the issue that when we issue the report, the cover letter will indicate that this is the date when the management report was communicated to management. So normally we don't change that date. We will then, on the auditor's conclusion, we will indicate from time to time what are we concluding on, what is our position at that date. So that will be the feedback, Chair.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, AG. Honourable members, I think we will have to deal with this thing next week. We have got to consider and adopt the budget recommendations, budget review and recommendations report next week. You remember I did raise my concern last week on Tuesday on these two specific matters, because I don't know what we say in that report with regard to the audit outcomes, because the AG insists it's the final report, but it is clear that there are some processes that are still going to be undertaken. We don't know where those leave the final report. So it's going to be a bit tricky with regard to what we say, but let's have that conversation next week. It does appear to me that it was, I don't know what the remedy that's available to SFF, but it's clear to everybody that it was, that process was very unfair if that thing happened on the day that the final report was being finalized, quite clearly. So, because if it had happened earlier, they would have gone back to them to say, no, we, this is what we think, and then we would have made representations, and then we would have made a final determination based on the representations. Clearly, we didn't. So I don't know what remedy exists there. So those two things are still up in the air. Anyway, it is 15:40 now. Thanks very much. Honorable Tlamini, can you please come to the meeting next week? I know that you have very other important things to do. We have a very important meeting next week on Tuesday. Thanks, Deputy Minister, and thanks to your team and the directors who are present, other members of the public. Honorable members, thanks very much. See you next week on Tuesday.